Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. Become a fan of Beyond the Book on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the free podcast and never miss a program at www.beyondthebook.com.
I run a program called Beyond the Book, which is online. It's a podcast series, and I am the director of author relations for Copyright Clearance Center, which is an RRO. If you're familiar with the Spanish market, you probably know our partner, Cedro. We work with Cedro, as well as with many RROs in Latin America, across Europe, and into Asia as well. You can find out more about Copyright Clearance Center at copyright.com. We are not to be confused with the government. We are not the Copyright Office. That is copyright.gov. But as Rüdiger said, my role here today is to be the moderator. I look forward to a discussion. I want to briefly introduce who we have here with us. To my far right, Diana Finch. Diana Finch is the proprietor of the Diana Finch Literary Agency here in New York. She represents a variety of genres and specialties, from general fiction and literary fiction, biography, business, and religious books, across the gamut. Some of her leading clients include, Owen Matthews from Newsweek, a book on Stalin's children, Loretta Napoleoni, the author of Rogue Economics, Richard Gallagher, What to Say to a Porcupine, quite a fabulous title, and as well, she has most recently represented, and germane to our discussion today, translation rights to Three Cups of Tea by Greg Mortensen and David Oliver Rowland, and that's been sold into 30 territories. She's going to be telling us all about that. And Diana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris.
Also joining me is Blanca Rosa Roca, coming to us from Barcelona in Spain. She is the founder and president, general director of Roca Editorial, which has established itself as a leading independent publishing house in Spain with authors such as Noah Gordon, Michael Connelly, Denise Mina, Craig Russell, E.L. Doctorow, and many Spanish authors. Several imprints have been created specializing in different areas. While Roca Editorial covered commercial fiction. She'll be telling us all about that and about her experiences as a publisher in Spain, working with, indeed, agents like Diana herself. I want to start just briefly with a small personal story. As I mentioned, part of the work I do is for Copyright Clearance Center's author program, and we held an event going back to 2003 where we featured Adriana Lopez. You may know the name. She is a writer herself, and at that time was the editor of a magazine called Criticas, which was a partner publication to Publishers Weekly that covered the Spanish language market in this country. And Adriana was speaking about Spanish language as an opportunity for authors and for publishers here in the United States. And that was 2003. We are now 2010, and that opportunity isn't simply a glimmer in someone's eye. It's a real opportunity. And so I want to start by speaking with Diana about her own experience. And I guess I would start by asking you, Diana, about the understanding that American authors have about the growing importance of the Spanish language market.
Well, I think that people are now really aware that after English, the English language market, which is a truly global market, the Spanish language market is the next global market. It's a very unusual market, though, very different from the global English language market, because it's much more complex and has many different parts. I'd say about 20 years ago, I think it really started to break out and become more global, dominated by Spain, but now with three really major parts. Spain, which dominates through Europe, Latin America, especially Mexico and Argentina, and then what's been very interesting over the last 10 years or so, the rise of Spanish language publishing within the U.S. So as an agent, it's very complicated to think about which countries are you going to sell a book in, at what point are you going to sell it, into which territories. Will they work together? Will they not work together? Do you sell to a global conglomerate, so you really have one publisher who's publishing all throughout the world? Or where does that leave the smaller presses who would maybe publish only within their own country?
Yeah, Diana, if we can try to unpack that for the audience here. And I'd like to start with the Spanish language publishing in the United States. At that event that I was referring to, someone who was there from the Los Angeles newspaper called La Opinión, which is the second largest circulation newspaper in Los Angeles, in Spanish, of course, pointed out to the audience that the Los Angeles was the second largest Mexican city. It was the second largest Salvadoran city. It was the second largest Guatemalan city, apart from the ones in their own country. And so the Spanish language marketplace has really developed, has blossomed. For the authors that you work with, do they understand the importance of that U.S.-based market yet?
I think that they do. It's an unusual market to figure out, though, I think, if you're not Hispanic, if you're not part of it, because the Spanish language publishing by the U.S. publishers about 15 years ago or so, Simon & Schuster, HarperCollins, Random House, all started their own Spanish language imprints. And their lists, though, were very divided between books that were by Hispanic authors on Hispanic subjects and the bestseller list, with not too much in between. And interestingly, now it seems that it's really Vintage Español, Random House's division, that has survived and prospered. But I think that that's not just because of the difficult financial situation we're in, but I think that the Spanish publishers began to take more advantage of the U.S. market. And Amazon, for instance, enabled them to sell their titles in the U.S. Barnes & Noble and Borders, many of the stores have Spanish language sections and Spanish language buyers. So that I think the Spanish language publishers who are based elsewhere have really come into the U.S. market in a very strong way.
Well, that begins to raise the questions about territorial issues, and I'm learning as much as the audience is right now. So could you, in a brief way, explain how you manage all of that for the authors and in your relationships with agents outside the U.S.?
I think this is where it gets very complicated, and it depends on the publishers that you're dealing with. And I was really struck in all the negotiations around the Spanish editions of Three Cups of Tea by Greg Mortensen and David Oliver Rellin, how cooperative everyone was, and how my subagent, International Editors, which is based in Barcelona, really facilitated a lot of the cooperation among the publishers. The first publisher was a Spanish publisher, a small new publisher in Spain, Cantoyas. They were the first ones to buy. And then very quickly after that, a Catalan publisher, Ara Libres, bought the Catalan rights. And we can't forget about the Catalan language rights. And then Vintage Español became interested, thought it was a book that they should have on their list. And they worked very closely with Cantoyas to share the translation, but they also re-edited the translation for their purposes. And then Roca was interested in the mass market reprint rights. And interestingly, Vintage Español has really built their program, I think, on trade paperback. And so they didn't want to insist on the mass market reprint rights in the U.S. So Roca has the U.S. mass market rights.
Well, I could see what
you
mean.
Not to mention the audio and the ebook rights.
Right. Well, I could see what you mean by it being a confusing situation. In that situation, then, in those circumstances, it seems to me that the subagents you're working with are the critical component here.
Yes.
Tell us about that. Tell us about your interactions with them.
Yeah, I think they're really at the forefront, and the ones who are keeping up on this global world, the global arrangements that need to be made. And they really advise me on everything, except, I'd say, for the newest formats, the audio and the ebook. It seems to me as though they are looking to the U.S. for guidance on all aspects of those rights, from royalties and advances to different aspects of the publishing programs.
Well, that's interesting because, of course, one of the things we'll be hearing about throughout BEA this year is all the debate around e-publishing. What guidance can you give at this point with the e-book market?
With the ebook market, what we want to know about most is what exactly are the programs that the foreign publishers have in place? Why do they want to acquire the ebooks? Is it just because they think that that's another right that they ought to have as part of the whole package? Or is there really a very specific program being launched? And I think that the ebook programs are only just beginning now, mm-hmm. right?
Just beginning.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll talk about that with Blanca Rosa, but before we move on, I'd like to push on that a little bit because it's interesting, I think, that point you make that people are acquiring rights because they think they should have them. And of course, as an agent, your job is to try to monetize those rights to get the most for them. We're at that point in the e-publishing world where nobody really knows what they're worth. Isn't that fair?
Yes, I think that's fair. And that's why I think people are concentrating very hard on the royalties, not so much the advance. You want to make sure that you have the right royalty structure for the deal. And you want to understand as much as you can about exactly how the publisher is going to sell the e-rights before you finalize the deal.
And is the device market, are you aware, I'm just curious, whether Kindle, and I know iPad is about to be launched in the European market, if it hasn't just been launched, whether there's been as much excitement in the publishing world around those devices as there seems to be here in the United States, or is e-books more about reading things on a laptop?
No, I think there's a lot of excitement about the devices, but I also think that the European market and the Asian market, they're both much more open to the possibility of phone, ebooks on phones,
nice.
Than we are.
Very.
And I think that people also do download ebooks to their computers. I mean, I'm sure that's still the majority of the ebook sales, especially in the foreign markets, will be to personal computers.
I'll be curious to hear what Blanca Rosa has to say on that, because we live in the glare of publicity about the iPad, particularly right now here in this country, and I'd be interested to get a perspective from Spain on that. There are some book fairs that have developed that have become critical to the business of selling rights. I mean, Frankfurt, obviously, Book Expo itself, but the Guadalajara Book Fair is very important. Tell us about that.
I think the Guadalajara Book Fair has they've made a very concerted effort over the last 10, even the last 5 years, to involve a lot of Americans. And it's in Guadalajara, Mexico, and very closely affiliated with the university there as well. And they try to make it easy and interesting for Americans to come there, but also European authors. They want to really be a global fair. My client, who's an Italian writer, Loretta Napoleoni, was invited there last year when they featured Italy as the companion country. And for her, you know, it's not just Americans for whom Spanish language is a very important global language, because I would say that after Italian, Spanish is the next most important language for her. This is the Italian edition of her most recent book, titled La Morsa, that was published first in Italy. And then the second edition to come out is the Spanish language edition, published by Paidós, a publisher in Spain. And she can do publicity in Spain. She can speak Spanish fluently enough to do radio, to give presentations, and also to write for the Spanish papers, write op-eds. So she really has a platform in Spain. And then this is the U.S. edition of the book, Terrorism and the Economy, is the title in English. And you notice that in English, the title is just very straightforward, Terrorism and the Economy. But in both the Romance language, it's far more metaphorical, La Morsa, which means like the vice. It's an interesting difference, I think, between the two languages and the two markets.
Well, I appreciate chatting with you about that. We will come back to Diana Finch in just a moment, but I want to turn now to Blanca Rosa Roca, who comes to us from Barcelona by way of Buenos Aires, I think.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, thank you for coming all the way to New York for this. You've been listening to Diana. You've worked with Diana because you are the publisher of Three Cups of Tea. How does her experience and what she sees as the developing market correspond to your own experience as a publisher?
Yeah, I think the American market for Spanish is growing, but I think not growing as quickly that we want, the Spanish publishers want. About the agents, I think the American agents has the things easier than the Spanish agents to sell Spanish authors to America. I think the proportion is so different. The Spanish publishers buy a lot of American rights, and so few American publishers buy Spanish rights. The difference is so important.
Well, have you any suggestions about how to change that? I mean, program like this is probably going to do something for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Marketing is interesting. I was thinking as Diana was speaking that, language facility really matters. And with the growing population in this country that is bilingual, perhaps that will change some things. Mm-hmm. Are there any thoughts you've had? I mean, you've been in business for a number of years. What would you like to see happen? How would you like to see that change?
Yes, I think the Spanish publishers has to do more promotion. This morning, a librarian from Brooklyn told us about we need more promotion for your books, and this is the first thing, and go in insisting in the same thing and in promote our writers and be more active, proactive.
What are the kinds of rights that you are looking to acquire? Again, Diana mentioned e-publishing as well as audiobooks and some of the questions around all of that. How important is the e-book rights to you at this point?
At this point, the e-book market in Spain is just starting. Next month, we will launch the three big groups, Planeta, Santillana, and Random House, with Roca and SM Group and Walkers and Kluber and a Catalan company that is Ediciones 62. We are partners of Libranda. Libranda is the company to do the distribution of e-books in Spain, and I think it will be the best and the bigger distribution for e-books. From this month, we can see the market. At this moment, the devices, now iPad is developing for, is launching next week, I think, the 28th of May. There are Sony, there are Kindle, but we need also more devices.
What are subjects, what are genres that are particularly appealing in general to the Spanish market and to you particularly?
Mm-hmm. I think the iPad will be one of the best to span.
Right.
The
I mean in terms of genres, what types of
genres.
Books?
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think the fiction. Fiction. This morning we can see also that the fiction is more than 50% of our market. As fiction for adults and fiction now is growing a lot. The fiction for young readers.
Diana, can you weigh in on that in terms of how the Spanish language marketplace kind of picks and chooses among the genres?
Fiction, I think, is the most popular genre, far more than nonfiction in Spain, and I think that that has to do, too, with the author and the ability to promote the author, because for nonfiction, you really need to be able to have the author to promote the book, and that's why a lot of American nonfiction authors won't sell so well. I know that for the Three Cups of Tea, neither author speaks Spanish, but Roca in particular for the mass market did a lot with what existed already. There was a lot of video footage, a lot of visuals that they were able to use online, in magazines, and that's really, I think,
Yes,
it was very creative,
yeah,
right?
We push a lot the book because we know the success in America. It's a book that sold, I don't know how much, but maybe 4 or 5 million of copies.
Right, 4 million.
Yeah, four million of copies. And we know that it's the potential of this book is bigger. The problem was that we invite the author. The author cannot come to Spain, and it was a shame. But we push with the journalist and all things.
Well, I think that raises an interesting point, because when choosing to acquire the rights to a work, you're hoping it's going to be a success, right? Mm-hmm. And so the factors that make a book a success have to do with perhaps the subject matter, but also with, in this case, the authors and their ability to speak another language, it seems.
I think the language is not the problem, because we put translators to the author. If Michael Connelly came to Spain, and we have a very big promotion with them. Noah Gordon came many times, and we do a lot of promotion in 5 or 6 cities. And the problem is not the language. The problem is that the author won't come to Spain to promote the book.
Okay. What is your relationship with the Latin American market like? And, you know, there's that complex arena of publishing sectors that Diana was referring to. This country, the European marketplace, and the Latin American marketplace. To talk about your own relationship with Latin America.
First, as a publisher, I won also the rights for Spanish, global Spanish, all the market, because most of the publishers, the Spanish publishers, has a distribution in Latin America. In the case of Roca, we have the distribution through Random House, and we have our books are in Argentina, in Mexico, in Chile, in different countries, and we are very strong to when I have a deal for rights, have the all Latin American and American, North America rights. I think it's important for us, and now more than with the e-books, it will be easy if the same publisher has the rights for all the world for Spanish.
Right. So you're accustomed to dealing with people like Diana, literary agents. I presume we have some in the audience today. Any advice for the agents here in terms of how to arrange for the best possible outcome for their authors, either by working with the sub-agents or anything else? Suggestions, tips that they can use when they leave here today?
I think the sub-agent is an important thing for American agents, because the sub-agent can advice about what publisher is the best to this book, what publisher is on the bookshops, what promotion. I think the sub-agent is important for the American agents.
Any other best practices that you can suggest?
In this world now, global world, I think it's important have all information about the book in another countries, in America, in North America, or in another countries. All the promotion, I ask always for what promotion has done the writer in States or in everywhere, to have more information, maybe to copy, maybe if there are a video in the store, we want the video to put in our website, and this kind of things. Promotion, it's important. More
yes.
Tips about promotion.
Roca did a very nice thing with Three Cups of Tea. They found online a video interview with the author, with Greg Mortensen, that had been done by a small public library in the Midwest. And it was just Greg Mortensen sitting right there in front of the camera answering the straightforward, simple questions. And it was a very effective interview because it was all the basic questions that anyone would want to know coming to the book for the first time. And I had never seen this video. I'd never heard of it before. But then I had to get permission from the small public library for you to use the video. I was very impressed that you found it.
We are doing a lot of in internet, in Facebook, in social networks. This kind of books is important for us.
Well, indeed, I can imagine that these days the internet makes everything a global business from day one. And so no matter what you're doing, whether it's in a public library or here at BEA, we're being videotaped and all the rest will be online pretty shortly and people will be able to use that for themselves. Well, I want to thank, on behalf of Book Expo America and myself, Chris Keneally from Copyright Clearance Center, thank you for coming and joining us. Thank you for your questions. And thank you to our panelist, Diana Finch.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
And Blanca Rosa Roca. Thank you very much.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.